It's been so long since I preached, I forget that they record this just in case there's any liability or anything comes as a result. It's good to see everybody. A lot of y'all have gone through a lot to get here this particular week, and we're delighted to have each one of you, not only those of you who are visiting with us and sharing the worship of our God and our Savior, but also those of you who are so faithful to be here every time you can be. This is a sweet congregation, and we have a lot to be thankful for in that. I remembered my stopwatch. You have Bob Cates to thank for that. Bob Cates is one of my heroes because he taught me brevity. He taught me the ups and downs of preaching, as Dale has said. Stand up, speak up, sit down, and be quiet. And so I learned that from him. He's a hero. I appreciate brevity. I appreciate the time that you'll be spending listening to me, and so I want to make sure it's worthwhile on that, because I don't like people to waste my time, and I sure don't want to waste your time, and even more, I don't want to waste God's time. Another hero of mine was Dr. Terry, my economics professor, one of them at WT, and he put into words the way that I like to shop. He said, "A good shopping experience is like a good bank robbery. You're in, you're out, nobody gets hurt." And I thought that's the way. That's the way you need to shop, unless of course you're ladies. And then I realized that you have a different method for that, and I'm glad you do. Otherwise, we couldn't afford anything after that. But I have a new hero to add to the list, and let me explain how that came to be. This Wednesday night, Becca, as you know, was expecting a baby, and she was at the worship, but she left real early after that. Found out that her contractions were 30 minutes apart. And my thought is, oh, you'll want to be leaving for Lubbock right now. But that wasn't what they were thinking. They were thinking last time with Amelia, they left when the contractions were 10 minutes apart. And then when they got to Lubbock, they had to wait for hours before Amelia came. But Amelia was late, so we knew she was going to be a girl. And they weren't thinking about that. Oliver came on time. They should have known he was going to be a boy. And so anyway, they left. We got a text at, I believe it was 12:19 on Thursday morning. And so now I'm awake, and I'm thinking, okay, 12:19, it's an hour and a half to the birthing center, give or take. So hopefully at 1:49, we'll get a text from them saying that they've arrived. And we didn't get that text. And so I could only assume that they were busy with other things, and I understood that. But I don't know, a little bit after 2:15, I don't know, may have been a little later than that. But Josh called. And he said, "We had a new grandson." And of course, we were elated. We couldn't believe that they must have just got there in the nick of time. And so I asked, "What time was he born?" And 1:41. And after we hung up, I was going, let's see, 12:19, hour and a half, that would be 1:49. And they had this baby at 1:41. And so now I'm awake and I'm waiting for the explanation. As it turned out, they made it to the birthing center. I'm not sure that all traffic laws were obeyed, but in situations like that, we understand. But they had that baby in the van. Because they got there, Becca was having the baby, the birthing center ladies came running, and men came running out, and they said, "You can't come in, you're having a baby right now." So they had the baby in the van. Which two things occurred to me. Now I've got a new source of income. I've got a maternity van in case any of y'all need one. But the other is where the new hero comes in mind. I thought that I was efficient. But for Josh to be able to talk Becca into having the baby in the drive-through. That is efficient. I can only imagine the conversation. Josh saying, you know, I've got a lot going on. I'll go with you, but I'm not going in. So, anyway, everything went perfect. And Oliver Keith was born and is healthy, and Mama is healthy. And for that, we certainly are grateful to God. And we are in your debt for keeping them in your prayers. And this congregation is special. I think about the closeness that we have and have had through the years. I think about the ups and downs that we have all been through and how we have shared that in many times when we knew that it was appropriate to share it. I think about the brothers and the sisters in Christ that we have and these little children that we're having. And I want to emphasize this morning. We need to have as the priority in our life that we are going to serve God for all of our lives, and we are going to influence as many people as are in our circle of influence to serve God all of their lives. That means if you're a parent, you're going to raise your children with the number one priority of serving God. Because if you miss that, and if I miss that, there will come a point at the judgment that we'll regret it. It doesn't matter how busy I am or I think I am. And it doesn't matter how many important things that you legitimately have to do. If the most important thing in your life is not serving God, then let me encourage you to do something that I have been praying about more and more in this last month or two. In Ezekiel 18, God encourages the people to get a new heart and a new soul or a new spirit. He asks the question, why will you die? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone. This is contradictory to the way many people in the world look at God. They look at God with resentment. He is there to ruin their fun. He is there to make unreasonable demands. He is there to be angry with them or whatever it is that they have in their convoluted mind. God loved you so much that He allowed His Son to die for your sins, so that you could have a chance on the day of judgment when you and I kneel before Him to hear, even though we don't deserve it, well done, good and faithful servant. Because the blood of Christ has covered our sins that allow us to even approach God. And because His grace has given us chance after chance after chance. But I want to say again, this is a lesson on priority. And I'm already 8 minutes into it. I'm only going to go about 22, so don't be concerned. This is a lesson on priority. If your number one focus in life is not to serve God, then let me encourage you this day, this moment, to start making it your number one priority. Because I am absolutely convinced that if I don't, and that if you don't, we won't make it. I'm not saying that to be dramatic. I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty in some kind of an unnatural way. I'm just saying that if the most important thing in our life is not God and is not Christ and is not serving them, our thinking is convoluted. Our priorities are out of whack. And we need to get them back in line with what God wants. And if that's you today, then welcome to the club. Either we're all there, we've all been there, but do something about it. It's too important. Your loved ones are too important for you not to influence them on this. Why? First and foremost, God created you. The only reason that you are here right now is because God created you. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Verse 26, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Verse 27, God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. The only reason you're here is because God created you. If you're like me, you probably think that you are here to work. You probably think that you're here to make a living. You probably think if you're a rancher that you're here to ranch. If you're a farmer, you're here to farm. If you're a businessman, that you're here to conduct business. But you are not. These are responsibilities that you have, and woe to you if you don't take care of them. But that's not what you're here for. God could have just made you as a gerbil on a wheel if that was the case, and you could just go round and round and round doing whatever it is that gerbils think are their business, and then when your heart stops, you just expire. So many people live that way. Most people live that way. I suspect every one of us at one time or another has lived that way. We can't. Some of you are in school. It's important. It's not the most important. Some of y'all have families. That's absolutely vital. But even that, as important as your family is, that's not the most important. The most important is, are you serving God to the utmost of your capacity? And He deserves that because He put you here. Furthermore, it's not just you, but it's everything. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord and all that it contains. How many times have you stayed home from worship taking care of your business, your house, your car, your job, Do you think that God wants you? The worship is just one small part of our service. Do you think that God really wants you to excuse yourself from His service so you can take care of His physical things? Of course He doesn't. And there's something else. It's found in Job 34. I think it's one of the most eye-opening passages of Scripture to me. In Job chapter 34, Elihu, a friend of Job, as a matter of fact, of the five people that spoke during a series of conversations that Job had, not including his wife, only Elihu was not condemned for what he said. And look at what Elihu said. Job 34:12. It is unthinkable that God would do wrong. You ever blame God for something? Well, I would do this, but God made my health this way. I would do this, but God made my finances this way. I would do this, but God gave me this to do for a living. And we impugn God. You remember the first time that happened? It was Adam. Did you eat of the fruit? Oh, yes. It was the woman that you gave me. You remember how that worked out? Don't impugn God. It is unthinkable that God could do wrong, that the Almighty would pervert justice. Who appointed him over earth? Who put him in charge of the world? If it were his intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind together would perish and man would return to dust. God created you, and if He were to withdraw His breath right now, you'd cease to exist. This is how much you and I depend upon God. And if we cannot be bothered with this thought, because we have important things to do in this life, if we don't catch ourselves, there will be a day where we kneel before God and we'll have to explain why we didn't catch ourselves. Why we didn't think that He was worthy of our service. Why we rejected the sacrifice of Christ and thought that it was a small thing as compared to the things that we had to do or the things that we wanted or the relaxation that we wanted to take part of. Is your service to God the most important to you? If not, get a new heart and a new spirit. This is the very thing that I'm struggling with, so I have an idea that I'm not the only one. It's part of life, but it's vital. And look at this in Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to Israel, but remember, Israel is a group of people that are in a covenant relationship with God. They are God's chosen people. In Romans, we are told that everyone who is in Christ, who are part of the new covenant, are Israel, and that not everyone who's a descendant of Abraham is Israel. So when he talks to Israel, he's talking to people who are still in the covenant, who have made an agreement. God has told them to do this, and they've agreed to do that. And in exchange, God gives us tremendous blessings, and he's worthy of our service. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, "And now, O Israel," it's not just talking to Abraham's descendants now, he's talking to you. "Now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you?" This should interest us all. Look at the four things. "But to fear the Lord your God." Otto was talking about this in class today. That fear can involve a terror for wrongdoers. But this fear is a holding of God in reverence. It's a recognition of his holiness, his purity. He's awesome. We fear him. "Walk in all his ways." That means he sets the rules and we obey them. And he doesn't set them capriciously. He gives us a set of rules that are marvelous. There's another part of Deuteronomy where Moses just exclaims, "What other people is so blessed as to have this set of laws that God has given to us, that I'm setting before you today?" We're blessed because God not only has created us, but he's told us the very best way to live. And we can either live that way and enjoy life, or we can live a different way and we'll pay a consequence. So the second is to walk in his ways. The third is to love him. As Jesus pointed out, the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you? Is God your life, or is he a part of your life? Is Jesus your life, or is he someone you think about only when maybe you get together with the church? And talking about the church, the body of the reconciled, is the body of Christ your life, or is it a segment of your life that you have put in a box that you allot an hour to or two each week? And then the rest of your time is yours. And by the way, God's awfully lucky if you can afford to give him that time because you're so busy. You see, we get our lives convoluted. And while we would never phrase things the way I've just phrased them, if you're like me, we live that way sometimes. And so love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then this, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And this service is a great privilege. It's the very best way to live. And if we can live this way, we have tremendous blessings. Think about what's happening down around Kerrville right now. Not only are there people who are grieving right now, not only are there a lot of people just trying to get their physical lives back in order, but there are parents of 27 little girls who have not been found yet. And you know from watching disasters through the years what the odds of being found safe and sound after a certain point of time are. And so too to those parents. And so they've got the uncertainty, they've got all the second guesses that you and I would do if we sent our kids to camp. They've got all the blame that we want to assign to everybody in the world for things that sometimes just happen. Only the ones who are determined to serve God with all of their heart and soul can possibly come out of this good. And even at that, it's going to be the hardest thing they've probably ever done. You and I have experienced different difficult things in our life. If we can do these things in God's way, if we can rely on Him, if we can allow Him to carry us through the times that we could not bear otherwise, that we don't know how we could even stand to get through. But here we are on the other side now because God has helped us to get through these times. If we can have the perspective of, if I've lost a child, now I've got a child that's waiting for me. And now it's up to me to be serving God with all my heart and all my soul because I want to be reunited with that child again. We have to have the proper perspective in our life. God made you. If He was to withdraw His breath, you would cease to be. We've got to stop thinking that our physical things are so important. Are they important? Absolutely. We talked about this passage in class this morning. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. God is serious about you taking care of your physical responsibilities, but only in the context of your service to Him and your service to others. But when we can do that, oh, life then becomes really good. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. And as we, this will be our concluding passage. But as we read this, think about everything that God has done, all the plans He has made, all the things He has already put into motion for you to be saved, for you to be prepared for this day. He's done His part. So as we look at this, ask yourself, have you done yours? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do you act and live as if your whole duty is to fear God and keep His commandments? We struggle with that, don't we? And then He tells us why. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. I love the fact that He's bringing the good things we do into judgment, because I think I've got way too much on the other side of the ledger. But I also appreciate this. My whole duty is to fear God and keep His commandments. I can do a lot of satisfying things along the way. I can have satisfying work. I can have a beautiful family. I can enjoy good things in life. I have the right to go to Him and ask for forgiveness when I've sinned, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus gave me that justification. And so I can be prepared for that judgment. But am I? You can be prepared for that judgment. But do you think you are? Invitation's open this morning. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian today. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you just need to make a change. You can do that where you sit. You don't have to tell anybody about that. But you can make a determination to start living and serving God. If you'd like the help of the congregation, please come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing.